63, Amy. Doc is waiting for us on the fourth floor. He's not surprised to see either of us, which I take to mean that the fat nurse downstairs used her ear button to call ahead. I knew we couldn't trust her.
Stila, how are you?
The doctor says in falsely bright tones.
Amy, I can handle her on my own. You go on back to your chamber.
No, thank you, I say, as Stila's hand clenches on my arm.
What?
The doctor looks surprised. I'm sticking with Stila.
But I want her to,
Stila says, without a quaver in her voice. The doctor frowns. I'm not going anywhere, I say. There's a thin white line around the doctor's lips.
Fine, he says.
He looks down at the floppy in his hand.
Bed 36 is available.
He turns to the third door in the hallway. There are no biometric scanners on the door. Instead, the doctor withdraws a big iron key from his pocket. The large room has 10 beds, 5 against each wall. The doctor leads Stila to the bed all the way across the room, the only one not occupied.
We were waiting for you, the doctor tells Stila.
A chill goes down my spine.
It's so much easier to do a room all at once, he mutters.
The doctor indicates a neatly folded hospital gown on the bed. Stila looks at me. She doesn't want to let me go. I don't want to let her go. When her hand releases my elbow, it is like a goodbye. The doctor just stands there as if nothing is out of the ordinary. Stila's hands shake as she unfastens the top button of her tunic. Give her some privacy, I hiss at him. When he doesn't register what I've said, I take his elbow and turn him around. While we're waiting for Stila to change, I inspect the doctor. His back is turned as he fiddles with the instruments on the table by the wall. He'd not intended to peep on Stila. Why would he want to? She's so old. No, he'd just forgotten that Stila might be sensitive about undressing in front of him. He doesn't look at her as a human with feelings. He's been playing doctor too long with the simple feeders and forgotten what a real person is like.
I'm done, Stila says in her crackling voice.
She sits on the hospital bed with her legs sticking out straight in front of her and the sheet pulled up to her knees. Glancing around the room, I see that every other patient in the room is doing the same, but that they are all, as Stila would say, brainless twits. She's emulating them, perhaps unconsciously. Her tunic and trousers are folded neatly on the end of the bed. The hospital gown, so much thinner than her regular clothing, makes Stila look smaller, weaker, sicker than before, and so much more scared. She is shivering, but I don't think it's from the cool air blowing through the room.
What are those?
Stila asks, her voice catching.
Just IVs, the doctor holds them out. For nutrition.
Why can't you use those med patch things? I ask.
Med patches are just for simple things, like headaches and stomach aches. This is more serious than that.
None of the others have 3 IVs, Stila says. The room is so quiet, I'd almost forgotten that anyone else was here. The elderly in the other beds are meek, staring at the ceiling. Feeders. But Steele is right. The others have only 2 IVs, one each in the left hand and the left forearm.
The third one's special, because you're special. Hogwash.
The doctor grins wryly.
It's because you're the only one here on mental meds.
Steele bites her lips. Like Elder, she believes she's as crazy as the doctor's been calling her all her life. And now she's uncertain. Now she thinks that she needs to be here, cloistered with the others who are staring blankly straight ahead. You haven't even examined her yet, I say.
Hmm? The doctor doesn't look up from rubbing Stila's arm with disinfectant. You're jabbing her with needles and IVs and you haven't even examined her. What's going on?
My voice comes out low and deep. I wonder if the doctor realizes that this is how my voice gets before I get very, very angry.
The nurse downstairs informed me of the situation.
What situation? I ask, glaring. My glare is worthless. He doesn't even look up. Steele is watching us, though.
She's having delusions, just like everyone here.
In quick order, the doctor attaches 2 of the IVs to Steele's left arm, then moves over to her right one with the third needle. The doctor pinches Steele's skin at the crease of her elbow. He jabs the special IV needle deep into her big, thick blue vein. Stila gasps at the pain of it.
And even though the doctor had said that this was an IV to give her nutrition, a thick, dark red stream of blood drips down into the waiting bag at the end of the tube. I don't think. I just ram my shoulder so hard into the doctor that he flies back and hits the wall. I pin him there with my arm. I may not be as big as he is, but I've got rage on my side. "What are you doing?" I shout at him. "You said that was an IV, but it's not. Why are you always lying? What are you hiding?" When I am done yelling, silence fills the room. The 9 other patients on their beds all stare blankly ahead of them, unaware that anything has happened. Out of the corner of my eye, I see Stila blink, staring straight ahead, oblivious to me shouting less than a foot away. "Stila," I whisper. Nothing.